Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today is going to be one of my great subjects that I really like to talk about other than children. And I'm going to bring my guest on right away. Her name is Ann Eller, and she is the author of Dragon in the Sky, Prophecy from the Stars. So, Ann, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Nancy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this, believe me.
Good. So have I.
So now, Ann, what I do so that the people who are listening kind of get to know who you are, I let you kind of explain who Ann is and what really prompted you on this journey with your UFOs.
Okay. Well, it started a long time ago, probably back in the 1960s when I read a condensed version of the Betty and Barney Hill case, which was the first case of an abduction that was made public. And I read this article, and at the end, the author said, well, fact or fiction, we'll leave it up to the reader to decide. And my reaction was one of being absolutely incensed that anyone would consider that this had been a made-up scenario. I was so sure that this was truth, and yet I had no idea why I felt that way. So that was kind of the beginning of my getting into the UFO scene. I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, I've been a nurse practitioner, I've been a school teacher, I've been a volunteer in the White House during the Clinton administration. And I was secretary to the renowned astrophysicist, Dr. J. Allen Hynek. And he, as some of your listeners know, I'm sure, was known as the father of the scientific advisor to the government and to the military on UFOs. They hired him to debunk UFO sightings. And they wanted him, because he was an astrophysicist, they thought he could give reasonable explanations for what people were seeing, like the moon chasing Venus mm-hmm. and swamp gas and things like that. Well, anyway, he was the father of UFO research and the scientific advisor to Project Blue Book and Project Sign and Project Grudge. Those were all military UFO investigation projects. And he was also the founder of CUFOS in Chicago. That's the Center for UFO Studies that is still operating today. It's now the Hynek Center for UFO Studies. And then he moved out to Scottsdale, Arizona, and started IQ4, the International Center for UFO Research. I'm sure that a lot of your listeners probably remember the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was the scientific advisor for that movie, and he was the one that had coined that phrase, Close Encounters of the First, Second, and Third Kind. And he was paid by Spielberg $1,000 for the use of that term. And in the contract, he showed me the contract, and in it, it said that Spielberg was free to use that term throughout the universe. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting for only $1,000, okay.
Yes, exactly. And he was known as the dean of UFOlogy. But anyway, in 1960, like I said, I read about Betty and Barney Hill. Then from the 60s to about 1976, I did the metaphysical thing. I read everything I could about Edgar Cayce and Seth and Ruth Montgomery and Jean Dixon, and I just went the whole gamut. And then in 1976, I started to have UFO alien dreams. And these continued night after night after night. It made me crazy. For 4 years, until around sometime in 1980. And these dreams were just all kinds of spacecraft, all kinds of aliens. I was introduced to different cultures. I was allowed to pilot one of the smaller craft. And I was shown hidden bases. in one of the dreams, my skull was opened up by two alien doctors for the purpose of changing my tapes. And when they got in there, they realized that they couldn't change my tapes. They were permanent. So I obviously had been programmed from before I came into this lifetime. And there was a certain destiny that I had to, and a certain plan that I had to go through. Let's see. Alternate realities. I was shown alternate realities. I was shown another Earth, just like this Earth in the next dimension. And we are over there, just like we are here. It all was just so fascinating. On one of the dreams, I had a skull cap put on me. I was put in a chair similar to a dentist chair and had a skull cap put on and had a big download and of information. And during that time, I left my body and went soaring out into the universe and was actually shown a physical location in the universe that was termed heaven. It was such an extraordinary experience because it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. And the words, there are just no words to explain it. The colors were just unbelievable and the feelings. Anyway, I didn't want to come back. I just kept saying, oh wow, oh wow. I was overwhelmed by the whole thing. And in one of those dreams, and this is the one that haunts me to this day, I was like a refugee on a spacecraft, and there were a lot of other people there too, and we were watching on a monitor, and we could see the Earth turning on its axis, and then all of a sudden it just lurched sideways and fell right over on its side, and the oceans sloshed out into space and then back again across the Earth, still on its side. And we were just stunned because we knew that the chances of anybody surviving that was just very slim. So these are just some of those dreams that I had.
When you were having the dreams, and I mean, you say they're dreams, but
right.
Apparently what you're saying is that it's not really a dream. It is almost a reality type dream where you're really there. But the only way to explain it to most people would be saying that you had these dreams.
That's the easiest way. That's the most acceptable way at this point in time. But they were so real. It was just like, you know, stepping out of this life and going into that life. It was really quite incredible. But these dreams kind of made me crazy. So I a little bit like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I started reading everything I could find on the subject and trying to talk to people about it. Well, in those days, people weren't talking about it because people were being ridiculed. If they mentioned it, they were constantly being ridiculed. And eventually, the public began to shut down. Mm-hmm. But
they're opening back up now. The only people who are still shut down is our government, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right, and they absolutely are. I mean, it's just incredible. You know, they're not going to have to come out with disclosure because it's coming out anyway all over the world from the other countries. And the aliens themselves have stepped up their program so that more and more people now are seeing them and getting subliminal messages from them. And I think the acceptance percentage now of aliens and life on other planets is around 80% at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've passed through the ridicule stage and the violently opposed stage, and we're now here at the self-evident stage, and people really are accepting it. Go ahead.
I was going to say they're not really going to have a choice not to accept it because, I mean, it really is all over. You know, and I'll give you a perfect example. I was sitting here, I think it was either yesterday or the day before. Now, my house has windows all on the south side of the house.
Uh-huh.
So on the south side of my house is all open area. I mean, there's like nobody else here. And then 7 miles to the east of the mountain. And I was sitting here doing a consultation with somebody, and I looked up in the sky, and the sky was really a pretty blue, you know, a few puffy clouds. And all of a sudden, I saw this white object, and I know it wasn't an airplane because an airplane would have a shine to it.
Mm-hmm.
This had no shine. It was a white object, and it was so far away I couldn't see the exact shape, but it looked kind of oblong, round type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it went by so fast, and I'm sitting here going, man, I just think I saw a UFO.
And you probably did. Right.
They said, Nancy, what are you doing? I said, no, I really think that something went past that I could see. So, I mean, it's happening, and it's happening all over. I mean, you just go to the Internet, and you'll see things all over the place about, you know, sightings and everything that's going on. So you're right, and the government, they're not going to have to disclose it because it's already going to be disclosed.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you a couple questions, and mm-hmm. I know there's a lot to talk about. So in your book, the book Dragons in the Sky, you talk about the year 2010.
Or 2012.
Well, it starts off with 2010.
I'm okay. Trying to remember what I've written and what I haven't written. I've talked so much here.
Yeah. Starts off with 2010. And, as I read your book, I found it very interesting because when I was 6 years old, I had a really freak accident where I landed with my head and neck under my back. So I was, like, totally head and neckless. But, by all rights, I should be dead or paralyzed, and I'm neither one. But what happened to me at that point is that I would hear this beautiful angelic voice talking to me, telling me that I'm okay, that there's nothing wrong with me. You know, a lot of things now, Nancy, you can't use it yet. Now, I don't know how long I laid like that because my brothers were afraid to touch me.
Uh-huh.
But that kept repeating over and over to me. And then when I finally opened my eyes, I was looking at the ground, but I knew I was laying on my back. And even at 6 years old, you'd think you would freak. But because of this voice, it made perfect sense to me.
Sure.
And so, you know, I knew a lot of things, and I wasn't sure what they were. But all I heard constantly from that time on growing up, and I'm 62 now. I just turned 62, actually, on Friday.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. All I heard is the repeating of 2010 over and over and over to me. So when people start talking about 2012, I said, no, it's really 2010 and it's already here. Our calendar is about 2 years off.
This is it.
A lot of things that you describe in your book that's going to be happening during 2010, some of it's already started happening, so we still have like a whole half year to go. But they've always told me from 2010 to 2017 are all the changes, but it's going to take from 2010 to 2050 to put everything back where it needs to be.
Yeah, it may even take longer than that. But, yes, 2010 is the year when the big Earth changes begin, and then it's just going to accelerate from that. The Earth has just recently gone from a sort of a slow wobble, and we'll get into talking about Nibiru and Planet X as it's coming closer to us. It's causing the Earth to go through all kinds of things and gyrations, and it's been in this kind of a wobble for about 7 years now. But that has changed, and it's now becoming much more violent, and it's more like, Nancy Leader says, a rattling. They are now rattling the Earth at this point. This is going to be the beginning of the big stuff, and this has all been part of the prophecy. I had a visitation by some beautiful, beautiful female extraterrestrial interdimensional beings when I was in Laramie, Wyoming, and this thing went on for hours and hours and hours. And after that, I had, it was like they had put some kind of a filter in place in me so that I could sort of filter out all the crap, you know, all the disinformation, and just zero in on the truth nuggets. And I was then led to read the 12th planet, Zachariah Sitchin's 12th planet, and I was told that there would be a very important message in that book for me. And so I read it, and I thought, well, you know, what in the world does this have to do with me? It's 1989 at this point. and it talked to the Sumerians, and it talked about the Anunnaki and Nibiru and how it comes around every 3,600 years. And, you know, I thought, well, so what? But the interesting part of it, and this was what I thought I was supposed to pay attention to, was the fact that when they came 300,000 years ago the first time, they landed and they came for the gold, the mining of the gold that we had here on the planet. And they thought the work was too hard, too difficult. They didn't like the mining business, but they needed the gold for their atmosphere on their planet. So they decided they would create a slave race, and they called this slave race Homo sapiens. So bingo, here we are, the slave race, and the Anunnaki are the gods in whose image we were created. But I just want to, you know, this is a big shock to a lot of people if they're hearing it for the first time. So I want to say that the Anunnaki are the small gods. This is a small G god. It's not the big G god. But these were the guys that went into the laboratory and did the genetics and created Homo sapiens. And just like now, today, you know, the Zetas came, and the Zetas created a hybrid race using the human DNA and the Zeta DNA. And they have come up now with a much better group of beings that are ready to inhabit the Earth when it gets into the fourth dimension. And these are beautiful beings, and they're going to have much greater intelligence than we have, greater sensitivity. They're going to have a longer lifespan, and they're going to have a lot much less illness. So, you know, these things are, I look at them as they're neither good, they're neither bad. You know, it's just mm-hmm. the way it is. It's just evolution. It's what's happening in the creation. And the more we can learn about the real truth, because we've just been bamboozled from
big time
from the beginning. We've been told all kinds of fairy tales. And now that we are ascending in consciousness, and we really are, our bodies are being changed, they're being rewired, and our consciousness is opening up, and the whole planet, the whole solar system is on the move to a new section of the galaxy. And the closer that we get to galaxy center, the center of the galaxy, we will then have reached full consciousness. And we're on our way there now. So all these new energies that we're feeling on a daily basis and causing all of these weird reactions in our bodies, there's a reason for it. And we should welcome it, because, you know, just to open our consciousness enough to realize that there are other beings in the universe, and that they're actually here, and that they've actually been here forever, we've never been alone without them, that's a huge step in consciousness.
It is a huge step, and there are people who, no matter how much proof you give them, they're really not going to believe it, because they'd rather stay bamboozled rather than see what's really there and open their eyes and their heart. You know, part of your book talks about how we've forgotten how to love, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that. And I tell everybody we need to learn how to love one another again, but we need to learn how to love ourselves first, because we can't love one another unless we love who we are. You know, and we got to make peace with Mother Earth here, because we're destroying it, and it is going to retaliate, which it's already started to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, there are a lot of people who still apparently don't think that this is a possibility, that the Earth is going to make these changes, and that a lot of people may not necessarily make it, which they won't. You know, but that's
okay. Well,
that's
it. When it all comes down, and this is going to happen very quickly, this is going to, you know, a lot of it is going to happen within the next 2 years. And a lot of us are going to choose to go into spirit and just drop our bodies. And I just want to reiterate to everybody, just to remember there is really no death. We're simply dropping our physical bodies and going on in our light body. and there will be other bodies that we will inhabit and other lives that we will live, because there have been millions of lives that we've lived up until now. So we're energy beings, and we cannot be destroyed. We're like the Energizer Bunny. We just keep going and keep going. But you know, so some of us are going to choose to go out this, you know, pretty quick. Others can be lifted into a spacecraft, although I do want to say that I don't believe that the aliens are here to save us. I believe that they're here to support us while we're going through this transition. But they're not the rescuers. They're just not going to pick us up, rescue the whole Earth. Some people will be able to escape to another dimension through different portals that will be opening. And some people will actually survive and choose to survive and stay on the Earth and then rebuild. And during that process, the ETs, I believe, will help a lot more, and they will offer their technology to help with the cleanup of the atmosphere and the waters and so forth. And, you know, it's going to take about 100 years for the Earth to really settle down, about 25 years for the volcanic ash to settle, because at some point, every volcano that has been active in the last 10,000 years is going to go off. So it's going to be a lot of volcanic ash, and there's going to be less sunlight because it's going to be very dim at that point. But as far as we've forgotten how to love, it's so important right now, because this is a spiritual awakening. This is the transformation of man into an expanded spiritual being. And we need to be seeking our own inner spiritual guidance through all of this. We need to make peace with our own God, however way we interpret God. And it's so important for us to tell our families and our loved ones how much we love them. Tell them now, while you still have the time. And if need be, ask for their forgiveness and give forgiveness for anything. You know, basically, it's set your house in order, because when things really start hitting the fan, there's going to be a lot of confusion. So if we can do these things now, and that's why I think it's so important for people to know what's coming. It gives them time to prepare. Now, the government and the powers that be don't want anybody to know what's on the horizon, because they want us to just go to our jobs and, you know, watch our TV and sit on the couch and drink beer and pay our taxes and, you know, don't question anything. But in the meantime, they've taken trillions of our tax dollars. That's where the trillions have gone. And they have built their bunkers, and they have stocked their bunkers. And they just, you know, need about a few hours run time to get to their bunkers before the general public realizes what's happening. So time is short, and we need to get about doing certain things. And if you choose to survive, and there will be survivors, and the planet will survive, but you need to be bringing in, some food and some medicine and some water. And we're being advised to move at least 100 miles inland from any large body of water, and to go to a higher elevation if possible, and then to plan on camping out for several years. Get your tent, you know. And we're going to be starting from scratch, because the whole electrical grid will be down, and we won't have any of that. I, for one, choose not to experience that. I don't want to start from scratch. I'm too tired. I'm older than you are, Nancy, so I want to just, let's just go back. Let's just go up into the next dimension. I'm ready for it.
See, and I moved to New Mexico for a very specific reason, and it chose me. I didn't really choose it, but see, I moved here to find land.
Mm-hmm.
Build a school,
yeah.
Open it, and run it. And it's called the School of Now. and it's designed for the children that have been labeled with ADD, ADHD problem children, children that don't fit the bell curve, which are all these very, very intuitive children that are having a tough time with our energy.
Yes.
So this school is made out of 19 monolithic domes, which are actually very, very safe for all kinds of things.
Oh, wonderful.
And it will accommodate 500 students when it's finished that are 350 live-in and 150 day students. But also it will be used as a disaster relief place for the area where I live because we have none. And the gymnasium that will be built will accommodate at least 1,000 people uncomfortably, but they'll be safe.
Sure. Oh, that's wonderful. That's fabulous.
So I got the land. The land was donated to me. It's 22.59 acres of land.
Uh-huh.
It's been donated to me, so now I got to find the funding to get this going, like, now, because I know just what you were saying has been already told to me many, many times over.
Yeah. And the children need us. You know, the children really need us. They need our light. They need our stability. And they need the security and the love that we can give them. We all need to be paying a lot of attention to the children. And these kids, so many of them, are just wide open. And they're just so advanced. That it's wonderful.
They're very advanced. But unfortunately, our wonderful pharmaceutical companies
yep.
think it's more important to drug these children, and I have a problem with that.
Put them on
so
Ritalin.
My school is designed to help get these kids off those kind of drugs and actually be all they can be. And the biggest part is a private school, so I can teach the truth because
hallelujah.
The truth.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that's what, you know, what I came down here for. But while I've been down here, all kinds of really cool, cool things have happened to just me, you know. And, like, you know, my whole system has been changed and everything is just different. And it's like, okay, wow. And I've only been here for a little over a year, you know.
Yes.
But it's
well,
really
things
cool.
are speeding up now, too. I mean, it's all kinds of things are happening a lot faster now. So you'll probably see your funding coming in really very quickly.
Yeah, you know, and what's really kind of cool is that there's like 1,000 acres of land around it that is privately owned, but nobody's got any buildings on it.
Well, that's a great place to be.
Yeah, so, you know, it's pretty cool. But I was also going to say, Anne, that a lot of people right now, and you might be able to help them understand this, they are sensing a humming going on inside of them or a humming that they are hearing. Have you heard that from anybody?
Yes, I have from a lot of people. Now, there are all kinds of frequencies that you can be hearing, that you're hearing from the extraterrestrials. A lot of them are touching in with their own that are here on the Earth, and a lot of those frequencies are from the different extraterrestrial civilizations. At one point, I heard there was something like 123 different civilizations that are here now and surrounding the planet. And they're coming in very close now. Several of the dreams I've had recently have been that they're coming right in, just, you know, right over the house or right up to the window. They're very, very close now. The other thing that this may be that they're hearing, I mean, there are several things it could be, but I do know that they are experiencing certain frequencies from the different cultures, the different spacecraft. And then also, there is a lot going on under the ground. There's a lot of movement taking place. There's molten lava on the move underground, and the tectonic plates are screeching and screeching and screeching, and this is causing noise that people are picking up. The other thing is that they have been working, the powers that be have been working underground, building these huge cities and these big bunkers that they're going to survive in, supposedly. So there are several things. Now, spiritually, if you are going up inside spiritually in meditation, you will be hearing a humming sound. You will be hearing, it can be several different kinds of sounds. And that's the life current That's the Holy Ghost. That's in Eastern mysticism, they call it the Shabbat. But that is the life force. When that is removed, then you're dead. So you can go inside and you can hear this, and it comes directly from the Creator. This is how we are just absolutely individually connected with the Creator. And this is the ultimate Creator. This isn't the Creator of our body, the Creator of our soul. So there, people are experiencing these sounds on different levels, and it's difficult to tell somebody exactly which one they're hearing.
I'll tell you what's happening with me, and it's been happening for a while now. I get to hear different sounds, and I'm used to that. But what happens to me now, and it could be happening to many people out there, and I'm sure they're wondering, when I'm asleep, my entire insides are vibrating, and they're vibrating at such a high frequency, it actually wakes me up, and I can feel my inner core vibrating, but my body is not moving.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people are getting that. And
I think that's part of this transformation that we're going through. Our physical bodies are actually being rewired and re-energized and recalibrated so that we can withstand these higher energies that we're going into. So, yeah, for years, I thought it was my bed that was vibrating when I, you know, went to bed at night, because it was just moving, you know. But, no, that's my body. My body has been vibrating to that. So this is all a part of the transformation that we're going through, and it's great. I think it's wonderful. I'm so ready to leave the third dimension.
See, people have a hard time, Anne, understanding third dimension, fourth dimension, and fifth dimension, because most people, their mentality has only been trained for the third dimension, which is, you know, our five senses basically is what you see. And there's so much more that people are, you know, they're starting to be aware of, but it's been there for a long, long time. You know, and you said a little bit earlier how there's another dimension and there's people just like us. And I tried to explain this to people before, you know, because somebody will say, you know, I saw this person, they look just like me, almost identically like me. Mm-hmm. They're just living in two different dimensions at the time. They just don't know that.
And it can occupy the same space, but the dimension, as you go up in dimensions, the vibratory rate is elevated. So the vibration is faster, so our eyes are not programmed to look into the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension. Our eyes are calibrated here for the third dimension. And then when you're on the fifth dimension, you're calibrated for that level of vibratory rate, so you probably wouldn't be seeing the sixth dimension and the seventh dimension. But as our bodies are vibrating and as we're getting up there in frequency, then we're beginning to see into the next dimension. And this happened to me 2 years ago when I moved in this place here in Sedona. And all of a sudden, I was having all kinds of people walk through the walls and walk through my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought, what in the world is this? But I was periodically seeing into another dimension. So I think it's very exciting. I mean, it's just the thought of all these other dimensions with all these other new experiences that are waiting for us. I think it's very exciting.
I do too. And one of the things that's happened to me since I moved here to New Mexico, and I don't tell the story very often because it's not that it's hard to explain, but people would find it hard to believe. And it's like one night, see, one of the people that I met here, he has a crystal skull.
Mm-hmm.
And me being pretty nosy, he said to me, oh, would you like to see the skull? And I said, well, of course, you know. And so when I went to see the skull, he goes, well, would you like to hold it? And I looked at him like, you have to ask me if I want to hold it.
Right.
So as I held the skull, I actually, you know, held the skull and turned the eyes and space toward me so I could see it. Well, when I did that, It was like the energy from that skull totally filled my body. It like plugged up my nose and my ears and my throat. I mean, I was like plugged like with all this stuff in me.
Wow.
And, you know, like, and it was like, you know, not for a long period of time because it was, and it wasn't overwhelming. It felt really good. So I held the skull probably about maybe 3 or 4 minutes, but that entire time it was like I was just filled with just stuff. And then when I gave the skull back to him, it went away real quick. It was like in and out just as quick. And then he had made a healing bed out of plutonium crystals and sea salt water.
Mm.
And of course, I asked him what that was. And he said, well, it's a healing bed I invented. I said, oh, really? He goes, well, would you like to try it sometime? It's like, now, do you know who you're talking to?
How fast you know? Can I get on it?
Yeah.
How long can I stay?
can I be there for a while? You know? And you were talking about all these pretty colors when you were at this other dimension and what happened to me. When I was late, and I didn't do this all on the same day because it probably would have sent me to another place, God only knows where. So it was just about a week apart. But I will tell you, after I held the skull, within probably 24 to 36 hours, my gallbladder automatically started cleaning itself. So my gallbladder must have been bad. But
great.
It just, after that, so that worked. And then I laid on this healing bed. And I was only for 15 minutes, but it felt like I was laying. He said, you're not going to feel anything. And I said, yeah, well, okay, we'll see. And I just zoned. So I'm laying on this bed, and he turns it on, and it's like, you know, I'm laying on one of those blow-up rubber rafts on a little pond that just has that nice ripply,
mm-hmm.
you know. So the entire time I'm laying on the bed, this is this ripply, wonderful feeling energy going through me. And the last 5 minutes before the timer was going to go off, my crown chakra must have opened wide because I saw these brilliant, brilliant colors. I mean, every single color you could think of in a brilliant 10 times the normal color of it. And
yes, it's
there.
So different from what we're used to.
Oh, it was. I was laying there, and I, with my eyes closed, I'm thinking, man, what beautiful colors. And I hear him say, colors? You're seeing colors? and I never opened my eyes because I was just so into it. I'm going, oh, you would not believe these colors. You know, I started telling about the color.
Yeah.
You know, and then the timer went off. I went, oh, darn. Okay. And so later he said, you saw colors. I said, oh, you would not believe these colors that I saw. So I don't know where I went, but I went where it was really kind of cool.
Sure.
You know, and then after that happened to me on the bed, about probably 3 or 4 days later, my mom, my daughter, my granddaughter, myself all moved to New Mexico together, 4 generations.
Isn't that great?
It was wonderful. And my mom and I stay up and play cards. So, you know, she's like 87 now. And so we're staying up to play cards. And her mind is really, really good. She's very much with it. But all of a sudden, this energy filled the entire home. I mean, it was so thick, full of energy that it felt like I was walking through sand.
Hmm.
And I could feel it touching me, going down my face, not in a hurtful or harmful way.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, just touching me. And I could look around and I could see, you know, like what people would call dragon energy, but a really good one, or a little bit of snake energy. But this energy was so strong. And my first reaction was, you know, if you're not here for my highest good, you're demanded to leave. And, of course, it didn't. But my mom's cat, when this energy came in, she hit the floor, and that's where she stayed, in a dead stare the entire time.
What do you think it was?
I'm not sure. I just know it was a lot of great energy from some place that just filled the house and stayed there. And I went to sleep with an energy there. And when I woke up, I'd had probably the best night of sleep in a long, long time. And
well,
it
was just welcoming you to that your new home, I think. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was just so cool, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really funny to tell the story, because people have a hard time believing that something like that would happen.
Yeah, but they can get to the point where they can be sensitive enough to pick up these energies too, because the average guy on the street is becoming more and more sensitive now. So they should pay attention. And these crystal skulls are so wonderful, and they're so powerful. They have so much healing energy in them. What was the? Do you remember the name of the one you had?
You know, I don't. He told me, but I was just so thrilled I was getting to hold it. I don't.
Well, there was one that was named Max.
Well, this one had sat with Max. And
well, Max came to Phoenix, and I sat with Max. I held Max for 30 minutes. Wow. And had the 30 minutes of private time with him. And it was just, it was so calming for me. It was just, I sort of zoned right out. And I didn't notice anything physical like you did with your gallbladder cleansing, but I just had this wonderful, wonderful euphoric feeling after that. I've been very attracted to crystal skulls.
Yeah, well, it was so interesting, and I thought, man, this is cool. And then after that, after I did those things, my whole system changed. I mean, I really like Cherry Coke, Cherry Pepsi, and all those. But I'm also a very big water drinker. Well, after those things happened to me, I had a 2-liter bottle of Cherry Pepsi, and I poured this big glass. I took a big drink out of it, and it tasted like mildew.
Really?
It tasted exactly like mildew. And I thought it was the bottle itself, so I threw the whole 2-liter bottle away and opened a second one, and it did the same thing. And then when I went from New Mexico back to Chicago to, you know, do client work and stuff, I thought, well, maybe it's just down here in New Mexico, but it was the same no matter what. So the only kind of pop that I can drink at this point is a root beer, and not a lot.
Well, you know, I just heard within the last couple of weeks from a very psychic-sensitive person that they have changed the cola recipe. And it is now, there is now something in it that is responsible for calcifying the pituitary gland. And she's saying that everyone needs to stay away from the colas. The ones like 7-Up or ginger ale or that are fine. But it's, and I'm sure your root beer is fine too. But it's colas, and I thought, oh my, because I love a good Coke. I just
see, and but even with 7-Up and stuff like that, it all tastes
that
the same
all
to
tastes
me.
The same to you, huh?
You know, and my sense is heightened. I mean, if somebody's smoking a cigarette, I smell the formaldehyde in that cigarette.
Just,
or if somebody walks past me with cologne on, all I smell is the chemicals. I can't even smell what it smells like.
All right. How about eating meat? Is that bothering you?
It's changed. I mean, I can eat chicken easier than I can eat beef or anything else, so I do eat chicken. But the things that really taste the best, and I'm O type, you know, O positive. Which
I am too, right.
But it's not tasting like it should. But the vegetables now, that they taste great. You know, so a lot of things have changed in my system since I've been down here, and probably because of what I did with the skull and the healing.
Sure.
But that's all good stuff.
It's all good. It's a natural, this is a natural transformation from the way we were. I've been a vegetarian for about 28 years now. And I think probably if I had a bite of beef now, I'd nearly keel over at this point. But yes, they're getting us ready to become vegetarians. And, you know, most all of your ET societies are vegetarian. So, yeah, if people are noticing that change in their diet, go with it because it's all good.
Now, let's tell them how to get your book, okay, Dragon in the Sky, Prophecy from the Stars. How do they find you, and how can they get in touch with you?
They can go to my website, www.annanneller, and then at AOL.com, or you can do www.dragoninthesky.com and go to the website. You can order the book off the web site, or you can also get it on Amazon. It's also an e-book that you can download. Or you can get it at Borders. If they don't have it in stock, they'll order it for you, Borders. And what's the name of the other one?
I know who you're talking. Yeah, there's a few of them.
Yeah, two names anyway. They can get it that way. And I'm available for speaking engagements if there is an organization that would want me to come and speak. I have a PowerPoint presentation with some really terrific actual photographs of Planet X as it's coming closer to us.
Okay, let's talk about Planet X, because there's a lot of people who have no idea about what Planet X is. I mean, the scientists aren't telling anybody. So maybe, Ann, talk about that a little bit. And we're going to give out, your website and everything again before we go off here. But it, just explain that a little bit.
Okay. Well, it's a planet that is inhabited by the Anunnaki. That's their name. And they come around every 3,600-plus years. They come through our solar system. They have a very long orbit, a sling orbit that goes way out beyond our solar system and then cuts back through it. We happen to be here, bingo, living in the time where it has returned. That's our luck. It's called, they may have known it by other names, Planet X, Nibiru, the Destroyer, the Red Star, Wormwood, or the Dragon. And it's, the size of it is four times the diameter of the Earth, and it's 23 times the mass of the Earth. So this is a big dude coming into the neighborhood, and it has its electromagnetic system, and the Earth has its electromagnetic system. And as the two get closer together, these conflict with each other. And this is what's been happening for the last 7 years with the Earth bobbling back and forth, wobbling, wobbling, wobbling. You may have noticed at some point that you've had an inner ear, you thought you've had an inner ear problem, and you might have been experiencing dizziness or even slight nausea. Things like that are attributed to this bobbling back and forth. And when it comes with this long tail behind it. And in the tail, there are several moons, and there's all kinds of cosmic dust and boulders and junk. And the tail wafts way far out away from it. And that's where we're going to experience a lot of problems when it comes by, because we're going to get a lot of that stuff from the tail. When it comes by, it's going to be as close as 14 million miles. Now, you think that's pretty far, but not in cosmic terms, not with planets the size of this. It's fairly close. And usually, it can come through the solar system and not come very close to the Earth. And those times, those passages, a lot of people have not lost their lives, and there hasn't been a lot of damage. But this time it's coming very close to the Earth, and it's being predicted that this will be, this will be a real big upheaval this time. It was first, they've known about this since 1983. It was first tracked by a telescope that they put down at the South Pole, and they discovered it. The first time it was seen without a telescope was 2003, and you can see it with your eyes today. It's the most visible at sunrise and sunset. Now, that's given that the cloud cover is right so that it's not so bright that you're looking directly into the sun, because it's coming from the sun. And from the northern hemisphere, you will see it at between the 4 and the 5 o'clock position on the sun, so down to the lower right-hand side of the sun. And you'll see an actual round ball of light, like a second sun there. And so sunrise and sunset, go out with your camera, see if you can't take a filter with you, take a lot of sunglasses with you, too. You don't want to be looking directly into the sun. Because the sun, if you've noticed, it's a monster sun now. It's almost twice as bright as it has been, years ago. And that's because it's reflecting a lot of its light off Planet X. So we're just getting blasted by this glare. So anyway, it's closer to us now than halfway between us and the sun. So the sun is about, 97 million miles away, and so it has already passed the 45 million mile mark. So, it's coming in, and this is when we're going to start seeing the big tectonic plates moving, and Indonesia and Japan are really getting, the Philippines, they're getting hammered now. A lot of this we're not hearing about. So you need to pay attention to the national news, and you need to go on the internet and pull up IRIS, I-R-I-S, and that gives you the current earthquake situation around the globe. That's an excellent site. And the other site I'd like to remind your listeners to go to is zetatalk.com.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, zetatalk.com, and just start reading. This is a whole website of truth. I don't go 100% along with everything that I read on it, but I have guessed that it's a good 90 to 95% accurate. So this is important. Get on there and start reading. It'll blow your mind because you'll start learning a lot of new stuff. And she keeps you up to date. Every Sunday she sends out a newsletter about what's happening around the world and how close Nibiru is coming and what to expect next. And that's where she told us that the wobble is now a rattle, and the planet is actually being rattled from this point on.
The sun isn't even in the same position.
Yeah, right, right. And the reason for that is because we've been bobbling all over the place. Right now, our North Pole is pointed toward the sun and planet X because of all this electromagnetic hosing that's going on, so that the Northern Hemisphere is experiencing a hotter summer, and the Southern Hemisphere is experiencing much colder weather than they normally would. Now, at some point, we will point that the North Pole away from the sun, and then we'll be getting the cold weather. So it's starting. I mean, we've been going through this now. You're reading in the paper about bridges falling down and about mines caving in and about these big sinkholes and about fireballs that are zooming through the atmosphere. And all of these things are part of this of Nibiru coming closer. So we need to pay attention, and we just need to get prepared, and we'll just ride it out. And it's nothing to be afraid of. The reason that the Pleiadians don't talk about it is because they don't want to instill fear in people. And I don't want to instill fear in anybody either. But I think if people know what's coming, it's less fear-mongering than if all of a sudden, one day they look up in the sky and here's this big planet up there. I mean, that's enough to send people over the edge.
Yeah.
And we will see it as it comes in. It'll be as big as the full moon. And there will be another planet that we'll also see that'll loom pretty large in our sky. And that's going to be either Venus or the dark twin of the Earth that's parked right behind us currently. And we're sort of caught in a cup, the three of us, as Planet X comes closer to us. And so, you know, it's getting a little crowded where we are right now. So pay attention to where the moon is and where the sun is, because it's coming up in all different places, and you can prove for yourself that we're being knocked around.
Now, Anne, we're just about out of time. This has been wonderful having you on. Please give out
your
website.
Oh, we could do another hour, couldn't we?
Well, we just might, but not today, but we will.
Right.
I'll have you back on, so there's so much more to talk about. But please give out your website to the listeners again.
Okay, it's www.anneller.com, and that's A-N-N-E-L-L-E-R. And thank you so much. I have really enjoyed talking to you, Nancy. And I'll probably be coming to New Mexico one of these days for a little trip, so maybe we can get together.
You let me know when that is, okay?
I will.
All right. Thank you for being on the show. It was really, really good good info coming in, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you take care now, okay?
All righty.
And you, the listeners, I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. course, like I said, this is one of my favorite topics other than children. So may God bless all of you. I hope you have a great start of August, and we'll talk next time. Take care. Bye now.